This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. USA's Wrestling's Beat the Streets final X event is coming up on June 14th at Prudential Center in Newark. And my guest today is Terry Steiner, U.S. Women's National Coach since 2002. Great to have you on the show, Terry.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here.
Coach, there's plenty at stake at the Final X. The matches will determine the 2025 U.S. World Team in two international disciplines, men's freestyle and women's freestyle. In total, 20 weight classes will be contested, 10 in each discipline. The top two U.S. athletes in each weight class will wrestle as a best-of-three series at Final X to determine the U.S. representative at the 2025 Senior World Championships in Croatia.
And both ladies visibly fatigued here. Medikizi waiting in the center. Kennedy's got to continue to move her feet. Keep circling. Keep your head and hands down.
No score in that last sequence. No more scoring. And Kennedy Blades has done it. She'll get the chance to wrestle for gold in Paris.
Coach, tell us why Beat the Streets Final X is something you're looking forward to.
Well, I mean, multiple reasons. I guess the Beat the Streets has, you know, provided a platform for young kids to rise up, right, and be a part of the sport of wrestling. And I think that's an important cause, right, where we can infuse wrestling into young kids' lives and hopefully help them through their involvement in the sport. And then, you know, the second reason for us is, you know, it's determining our world team, right? And who we're going to go up against, you know, who we're going to take overseas and go against the world in September. So, you know, there's a lot at stake and, you know, everyone knows that. And, you know, it's the Olympic year every 4 years. And in between that, we have a world championships, you know, every year. So, it's the start of a new quad. It's an important quad because LA Olympics in 2028. So everyone's, you know, trying to kind of set the tone and put themselves in a place to, you know, kind of take over for the next 4 years, right? And kind of make their mark and kind of set their stake, so to speak, in these weight classes. So, yeah, we're excited. A lot of excitement this next week and finally get our team together so we can just get to work, right?
You've really seen the growth in the women's side of the sport from non-Olympic to the USA's first female Olympic medalist in 2008 through today's team. What has impressed you most about the growth of women's wrestling?
Well, I think, if I go back to 2002, I knew that kind of two parts to my job. One part of the job was, you know, trying to win world championships and win medals as a team and individuals. That was the first part of my job. The second part of my job was helping people see the value in the sport of wrestling for young girls, right? And I think it's a very male-dominated sport and, you know, change is hard. And, you know, we were being held back more by people inside of our sport, I think, than we were by people outside the sport. You know, people that, lifelong coaches that believed in the sport of wrestling, but they wouldn't put their daughters in the sport. They would send their daughters across town to Taekwondo and Judo class, but they wouldn't include them in the wrestling rooms, right? And so changing that mindset and helping them see the value of the sport and how it could have, you know, value on their young daughters, just like it had their young sons. I mean, that just took time. And once that happened, you know, that's when growth happened. And that just took time for that to happen. And some of it happened because, you know, we had, you know, if you go back to 2002, there were a lot of coaches that, you know, women just weren't involved in the sport. Now our young coaches, they don't know wrestling without women involved, right? And so it's just opened up a whole different mindset and you know, welcoming to females in the sport of wrestling.
Tamara Mensah-Stock has plenty left, and the American with that dream of finally standing atop the podium at the Olympics, it is here. Tamara Mensah-Stock of the United States has won an Olympic gold medal.
We've had a couple of great women wrestlers here on Sports Jam. We had Tamara Mensah-Stock, the gold medalist in 2020. We've also had Adeline Gray here on the show. So we've talked about women's wrestling here on this program. It has continued to grow. And in six Olympics, you've coached four gold medalists, three silver medalists, and six bronze medalists. What went through your mindset when you were building this program to have so much success?
Well, I don't know, I mean, the goal outright from USA Wrestling and the US Olympic Committee is to win medals, right? And that's what this is about. As a coach, I don't think that's what wakes you up every day, right? I mean, I think you get involved in the sport, and I made the decision to stay involved in the sport as a coach and make it my lifelong journey. Because I know the value of the sport on young kids, and I know that because their involvement in the sport of wrestling, we can help them be stronger people, stronger citizens, that know how to deal with life as it comes to them and deal with life's adversities. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see, I want to see Tamara Mensah-Stock win a gold medal, but I also want to see her in 10, 15, 20 years from now in successful careers, successful marriages, and a happy, person that is dealing with life, that's when true success happens for me, right? Medals and championships are great, but if the only thing we've done is teach them how to win an Olympic and haven't taught them how to deal with life's issues, then I don't know if we've done our job, to be honest.
Well, winning titles and being outstanding wrestling is something you've known all about pretty much all your life, as you've talked about. You've stayed in the sport before joining USA Wrestling. Terry Steiner was an assistant coach at Oregon State University and the University of Wisconsin, but he was a national champion and the outstanding wrestler at the 1993 NCAA Division I Championships and a three-time All-American for the University of Iowa.
And there's been another stall call, and that will be a point for Steiner.
And with that penalty point, Sunderland leads 7-5. Riding time advantage makes the score effectively 7-6 Sunderland.
Two things can happen. If Sunderland gets hit with another stall call, it's a tie match. Or if Steiner gets a takedown, he can win the bout. And Steiner's in on Sunderland here. This could be a takedown. It's close.
What is it, Jeff? No call. Nothing yet. Referee stops the match. Confers with the assistant, goes to the bench, and they're calling a takedown for Steiner. Wow. And in one of the most memorable finishes in NCAA Wrestling Championship history, Terry Steiner is the champion at 150 pounds.
It was a close call, but I feel the right call. When Sunderland's knees hit the mat and he's collapsed to his backside, that's criteria for a takedown and the winning points.
How many times do you relive those matches?
I mean, I had great moments in the sport, right? Did I accomplish everything I wanted to as a competitor? No, I didn't. But I don't know many people that do, right? And so you take what you get, and then you take the lessons learned, and hopefully I can pass those on to the next generation, right? And they can take it from there and do with it what they will. But I was very fortunate in my life to, first of all, be around a family that supported the efforts of what I was doing, right? And I grew up with a twin brother. The Lord blessed me with a twin brother that helped me stay accountable, gave me a built-in workout partner. And we pretty much lived the parallel lives up until we were 30 years old, right? We were both competing and both training and both assistant coaches at that time. And then, this journey took us on a little bit different route, right? And I went into women's wrestling, and but we've still utilized each other and helped each other along the way. We still talk on the phone every day. He's still coaching. I'm still coaching. We still help each other out. But we've been very blessed to be around, great leaders, great coaches, that have lifted us up our whole lives, right? And you know, I just feel it's our duty to pay that back, right? And to give that back to society and give that back to the next generation. So, you know, it's my journey in wrestling has been far from perfect, but it's been a great journey. And really enjoying where we're at right now. Seeing women involved in the sport and welcomed into the sport like I was as a young boy, right? And now we're seeing young women being welcomed in with open arms, and that wasn't like that always. And so, I think that's, you know, wrestling's done so much for our family, you know, my brother and I, and we're very fortunate to be in the positions we're in.
Without your brother, would you have become a national champion?
Well, I'd like to think so, but I also know the impact he had on my career, right? And you know, there was a time when no matter what I did, I couldn't keep up with Troy Steiner, right? And you know, I was always trying to be like Troy, and until I let that go and just tried to be the best Terry Steiner I could be, that's when my career took off, right? But Troy had great success too. He was also a national champion, right? He was also, you know, he was a four-time All-American. He was a national champion in high school. You know, I was a two-time state champion. He was a three-time state champion, right? And he was always a notch ahead of me, and very supportive. I mean, we did everything together. I mean, we lived together till we were 30 years old, right? And trained together and did everything. So I'd like to think I could have had the success I had without him, but I also know the impact he's had on my life and my career to this day.
Kind of reminds me of, even though they weren't twins, Reggie Miller and Cheryl Miller, how they kept each other going. And Reggie would think, "Hey, I scored 30 points tonight." And he'd come home to dinner, and Cheryl would say, "Yeah, I had 35." So that has to be a very competitive, but a wonderful atmosphere for both of you. And congratulations to both of you on amazing careers. How good will this year's team be on the women's side?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I mean, on paper, I think we're going to have a very strong team, right? But we're going to have some young, unproven people on the team as well, right? I mean, you know, we have, I'll just go through the lineup a little bit of the people that are in place. We have, at 50 kilos, Aaron Galston, who's a seasoned veteran, who's been around a long time, won a couple, I think three junior world medals, but has yet to make a senior world team. Now she's in a position where she can do that, right? But then we have Audrey Jimenez, who's an up and coming gunslinger, right? Who has won, you know, multiple world medals at the junior level, at the cadet level, at the U23 level, and this would also be her first senior level world team. So they've had great success on the international level, at the lower levels, not so much at the senior level. So how they can step in and perform at the senior level, we'll see. Do I think they're able to do that and capable of that? Yeah, I do. But you know, it's not going to go down without a fight. It's a strong weight class around the world, and whoever makes the team, whether it's Audrey or Aaron, you know, there's definitely going to be challenges ahead for them, right? And so, but both of those are, you know, in line to take the spot, you know, in the next couple of weeks. So at the next weight, we have a young girl, Brianna Gonzalez, and Felicity Taylor. Brianna Gonzalez is a, you know, I believe a one-time national champion at the University of Iowa. Felicity Taylor won a national championship at the University of Iowa, and I think two titles at McKendree, if I'm right in that. You know, Felicity's been on a U23 world team. I think she was fifth in the world, at the U23 level. But again, neither of them have senior world experience. I think they're capable.
37 seconds to go. 6-5 lead. for Felicity Taylor, but she's going to need to get to 7 points. All twos for Brianna Gonzalez. So from a criteria perspective, Felicity needs to get to 7. 6-6 won't do it.
That's right. So pressure's on Taylor. Gonzalez defense holding up. 10 seconds to go.
A working short offense. Dropping in. Can't get it. And Brianna Gonzalez gets it done. 6-5. On to Final X.
We'll see what happens there. At 55 kilos, we have two very young girls. Christelle Rodriguez, U20 world champ last year. Everest Leidecker is a U20 world team member last year and this year. Both really young, talented girls. Beat some great people along the way to be in the spots they're in the Final X. And again, I think they're very capable, but we're unproven there, you know. At 57 kilos, we have Helen Maroulis, you know, one of our storied athletes within women's freestyle wrestling in the USA, and kind of an icon, a living legend, if you will. You know, a 3-time Olympic medalist, four-time world champion. You know, brings a ton of experience, and her ceiling is as high as it can be, right? But, you know, she's also getting towards the end of her career, and she knows that. So, you know, how long can she hold on, I think, is the thing. And I think if the Olympics weren't in LA, she might have been retired already. But I think that draw to LA and having the Olympics at home is keeping her engaged, right? And to see if she can do, she's already done something no other American female wrestler has done and won 3 Olympic medals, but can she win a second Olympic gold medal that nobody has done, right? And I think both those things are high on her task list.
Looking to win a third Olympic medal, Bruce Baumgartner has the most U.S. Olympic wrestling medals with 4. Kyle Snyder later in these games also has a chance for a third, like Maroulis, who takes the first step here. 7-2 for the American. Lose a contact, no problem. She'll put it back in and get ready to move on to the quarters. A smile for the American from Rockville, Maryland. Helen Maroulis trying to position herself to another Olympic podium, this time in Paris.
Helen is a great talent and really been the face, one of the faces of our program. And she'll wrestle Amanda Martinez. Amanda Martinez is a couple time national champion at North Central. She has been on the national team a couple times now, been on the U23 world team, started wrestling late in high school. And is really a talented athlete, but, you know, was new to the sport, but is gaining ground incrementally every year and getting better and putting herself back in a position to make this team for the first time. So that'll be an interesting matchup. 59 kilos, we have Abby Netty, who's a former world team member, has had some success on the international level. And then we have Jakara Winchester, who's a former world champ for us and, you know, a couple-time medalist at the World Championships, has had great success at the lower weight at 55 kilos, 53 and 55 kilos. She made the Olympic team at 53 kilos, but now she's moved up to 59 kilos. So Jakara was on the team last year at 59 and failed the medal at the World Championships, but and definitely capable of it. Both of these athletes are capable of medaling at the World Championships at 59 kilos. So it'll be interesting to see how their, you know, 2 out of 3 series go. And then at 62 kilos, we have Kayla Miracle, who is a 2-time world silver medalist for us, been a mainstay on our world team and national team, you know, a 2-time Olympian for us, has fell short. Really, I thought in the Paris Olympics, she wrestled as good as anyone. Lost a 6-6 match to Chinnibekova, who's a former world champ, Olympic medalist from Kyrgyzstan. You know, pushed her to the edge. We were really in control of the match, and we got one situation that cost us 4 points, and it really Put us, and we ended up losing that match because of that 4-point move. But really, I mean, she was wrestling as great as anyone, and that was, just disappointing that not how she competed, but that she didn't leave there with a medal because it was medal worthy. So Kayla has decided that the Olympic medal is something she wants to do, right? And so she's back trying to put herself in a position to again win a world championship and an Olympic medal down the road. And then we have Adugo Nwachukwu. She's won three college titles at the NAIA level. She won a U20 bronze medal at the World Championships. This year, she's had some great competition. She won the ranking event, beat a former world champion from Bulgaria in the process. She's really showing some great improvements. So, they wrestled at the US Open this year. Kayla won the match pretty easily. But I have a feeling that, this is going to be a series that's going to be fun to watch, right? And I think that they'll be battling each other for the next 4 years, is what I see, and we'll see what happens there. But both great athletes and great people, and whoever makes the team is going to be ready because the other one pushed him to that level.
Coach, I mean, I'm not an aficionado when it comes to wrestling. So watching it sometimes it is difficult for me to understand who's got the advantage at times and what's the next move that's going to be made. But these matches can be so close that one mistake can cost you the match. And you could say that about a lot of sports. If you're golfing, you have one bad shot. If you're basketball, you have a turnover. But this is such a one-on-one sport. And it seems like all these great wrestlers that you have, they're all champions in their own right. How do you get them prepared to not make that one big mistake that could cost them a chance at either an Olympic medal or winning Final X? How does that happen?
It's no, there's no shortcuts, right? There's no secrets to it. It's about, just being disciplined, right? Being disciplined in your training and how you do things in the wrestling room. It's being consistent in what you're doing. We try to put them in tough situations on a daily basis that they're going to have to kind of think tactically and technically to find their way out of it. And the more you put them in those tough situations, the more comfortable they become, right? And there's no secrets really at this level, right? Everyone knows everyone, right? And they know their best attacks, they know their defenses, they know their tendencies. But can they stay disciplined, right? Throughout the match. And I think it's probably no different than watching basketball or football or something like that, right? The team that stays disciplined to their own skills and disciplined to their tactics and how they're supposed to win the game. I mean, those are the teams that eventually do it. And sometimes it's nothing about that. I'm not a big basketball guy, but watching the NBA playoffs, the last few weeks, I mean, it's amazing how intense and physical those games have become, and more so than I've ever seen before. And sometimes it's just, it's nothing about technique and tactics. Sometimes it's just finding a way to win, right? And finding a way to get your hand raised and learning how to win those ugly matches is just as important as anything, right? And so, we talk about technique and tactics and being disciplined and things like that, but at the end of the day, we're in a fight, right? We're in a fight out there, and you got to find a way to get your hand raised, right? And so sometimes you can throw everything out the window, and who wants it more, right? And who's willing to, push themselves to that level and to get what they want, right? And it comes down to that sometimes. But yeah, we definitely have some great competitors on this American team, no matter who steps into that lineup in a couple of weeks. But again, the level, not just in within the US, right, the level across the globe has risen, right? And a lot more people, a lot more coaches around the world paying attention to women's wrestling. And because of that, the level has risen dramatically.
Is there any country that has really stepped up over the last couple of years that you maybe you didn't anticipate?
Well, I mean, what amazes me are the small countries like Mongolia, right, who have a population base of what, 3.5 million or something like that, and how tough they can be year after year, right? It just amazes me. Or a country like Ukraine, who is going through turmoil within their country, and the focus is not on sports and leisure and all these kind of things, right? It's about survival but it also gives these countries a freedom too. Like these athletes from Ukraine know that they're stepping out on the mat doing what they love to do, right? And they don't take that for granted, right? And so when they're out there on that mat, they're making the most of their journeys. They're proud of their Ukrainian flag, right? And so there's a lot of strength gained from that as well. So, countries like that, I mean, Mongolia, just because of the sheer size of their country is not that big and the population base, but yet they continue to generate great athletes out of their program. And then, the countries that are always strong, like Japan and China, right? They just reload every year, right? Every 4 years after the Olympics, it's like you think, they have an Olympic champion retiring, and they also have one rising right behind them, right? And so, they've proven that if you put time, attention, and effort into something, you can make good things happen, right? And so, I mean, the level has risen for sure. The landscape has changed a lot in the last 23 years, but the thing that hasn't changed is Japan is still the country everyone's chasing. I think we're getting closer. I do. I think nobody's had the growth like we've had, right? Nobody has the infrastructure like we have, with our athletics a part of our academic systems, right? Our high schools, our colleges. Nobody has that like that. Right. And very few countries have that kind of thing. I mean, Canada does, but they don't have the population base behind it. Right. But with our growth and that we've had at the state level, and with our growth that we've had now at the collegiate level, we really think that our time is coming. Right. Our time is coming to knock on that door. But Japan is not going to fall down. Right. We're going to have to climb over them. They've made that very clear over the last 23 years, right? That we've been close times. In 2003, we tied them at the World Championships, but they had more champions than we did, right? And although we had more medalists than they had. So, it's just they definitely give us something to, I always tell our athletes, don't hate Japan. Let's thank them. Right. Let's thank them, because they're helping us become who we want to become. Right. And there's going to be a day that we're going to take over this world of women's wrestling, and we're going to thank Japan for everything they did for us along the way. Right. Because they pushed us to the edge every year. Right.
What a great outlook. That's why you are so successful. Just two more questions. Can you go to a high school match and go, yep, she's going to be a national champion?
I don't know if I can do that. I wish I could do that. But I think when I'm around someone during camp, when we're around them in camp, for a few weeks, you can definitely start to tell the difference between someone that's finding ways to get their hand raised and not, right? And it's usually no secret, right? It's usually there's some discipline and how they go about their daily lives. There's some structure to it, right? There's an excitement to it. They bring a positive attitude into things. And they're just always eager to learn, right? And they're always trying to get better. And so, yeah, you can, I don't know if we can just tell by watching a match in front of us, but athleticism helps, right? I mean, but like Coach Gable always used to tell us, the better wrestler doesn't always have to win the wrestling match, right? There's other ways to win, right? And so the best athlete, the best wrestler doesn't have to do that. And so, there's some intangibles that people bring to the table that, and I would say that with an Adeline Gray. I mean, Adeline Gray is a six-time world champion for us, a two-time Olympian, and Olympic silver medalist. But, she wasn't the most athletic person on the wrestling mat. She found a way to wrestle with her body, right? And with her skill set. And, everyone brings something special to the table. That's for sure. And it's helping them find out what their gift is, right? And some people, it's just like a Tamara Mentzastock, it's just pure athleticism, right? She could get away with a lot of things that probably an Adeline couldn't get away with just because she was so athletic and so explosive, right? Where Adeline had to spend more time on the small things, the details, right? The technical things that maybe Tamara Mentzastock didn't have to, right? And so, but everyone has something, right? Our first ever Olympic medalist, Patricia Miranda, back in 2004. Patricia Miranda was, she ended up being one of the top of her class, I think, in Stanford. She went on to Yale Law School and was at the top of her class there. And, just a person that could zero in and focus on something and stay focused for long periods of time. That was her gift. She was not an athlete. She forged her way onto that wrestling mat. But because of how intelligent she was and because of her ability to focus on something for a long period of time, that was her special gift, right? And it's helping athletes realize what their gifts are, and let's utilize that, to your advantage, and not try to be someone else. We can spend our lives trying to be someone else, right? And just like I did when I was young in college, right? I was trying to be my brother, trying to live up to him, trying to be on the same playing field as him, and I couldn't. There was a time where I couldn't until I let that go, right? And just tried to do things my way and did the best that I could do, right? And that's when my career took off. And I think it's helping athletes finding their special gift, and let's use it and let's get the most out of it, right? And everyone brings something to the table.
Terry Steiner brought it to the mat when he was in high school in Bismarck, North Dakota, winning back-to-back state team titles. He had a career prep record of 128-14, including 69 consecutive victories on the mat. Now, you can watch this whole Final X competition live at Prudential Center on Saturday, June 14th, or on demand at flowwrestling.com. I just wanted you to touch upon, if you would, Beat the Streets, the annual New York benefit, and how this also helps out the wrestling programs and kids.
Yeah, it's a really great movement, I would say. It's a great cause. It's something that you want to get behind it. I mean, everything is about that next generation, right? How can we help them? How can we put them in a position to, have the ability to have success in their lives, right? And I think the sport of wrestling is such a great teacher of life skills, right? And those of us that are insiders and have been around the sport our whole lives, we know that and we understand that. There's not a day that will go by in the wrestling room where you're not going to fail. You're going to fail, but you're going to have to find a way to pick yourself back up and go back about your business and stay calm about it, right? And deal with it as it's coming to you. And it teaches you so much. If there's one thing that, and I always say that if there's one thing that wrestling has taught me, I know that no matter what life hands me, I can deal with it. I can climb over it. And it may seem, at the time like it's the worst thing in the world, but it'll pass, right? And we can get through it if we just stay focused on the things that are important, right? Stay focused on, the things that are in our control, right? And you know, Lord knows, you know, the society we live in today, it can be a crazy world, right? And we need strong individuals. We need people that can hold their own and stand up and handle things in a mature way. And wrestling teaches that. And so the Beat the Streets organization has was started by a gentleman named El Bevilacqua, from Long Island. And El Bevilacqua, you know, was a lifelong wrestling guy and an enthusiast, and just saw that, you know, our inner cities are missing this. We have kids in the inner cities that are missing this opportunity to be involved in the sport of wrestling. And that was his dream, right? And that was his kind of movement forward. And he got people behind him that saw the same vision and helped him. And that's where it is now today, right? We have Beat the Streets organizations around the country and in major cities, and they're giving kids an opportunity to taste the sport, I would say, and be involved in the sport. And yeah, we want to help them, hopefully, you know, get some some success on the mat, but we also want to help them hopefully get an education out of it, you know, stay in school, get college scholarships, and open up some opportunities that maybe they would have never had. And so that's what the Beat the Streets organization is all about, is giving those kind of opportunities and giving kids a chance, and putting our heroes in the sport of wrestling in front of these kids so they can have someone to aspire to be like, right? And that's really what the Beat the Streets organization is all about. And it's a worthy cause, and I would recommend anyone get involved and, you know, give what they can give to help out this cause.
And the Beat the Streets New York annual benefit after party will follow the conclusion of Final X. Hey, it's obvious after this show, right? The U.S. women's national team is in great hands and has been since 2002. Coach Terry Steiner, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam and continued success.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out to Jerry Milani for hooking us up with Coach Terry Steiner. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.